verse 7. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon, for why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. Dear congregation, in chapter 2 and verse 14 of the Song of Solomon, we read these words. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice. And the Lord Jesus Christ there, through his word, is speaking tonight. He wants to hear his people. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice. How amazing it is that Christ should listen to his people. Who are we? We are sinners. Yet he desires to hear. How comforting to know also that he wants to hear me. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice. When we humbly seek his face and look to him by faith, he delights in listening to us. It is the comfort of the believer to know that they have the ear of the Saviour. And we can be assured of this. For the Lord says in the Song of Solomon 2 verse 14, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice. Despite our failings, he will not turn from us. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. John 6, verse 36. Well, as we consider these things, are we going often to Jesus? Is there someone here tonight you have never been in that initial way? Or that you would hear the voice of Christ, come unto me. We who love the Lord, let's consider those words in the Song of Solomon 2 verse 14. The words of the Lord Jesus, let me hear thy voice. He wants to hear you. Offer words of praise. He is so worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that is slain. He wants to hear us praising him. He wants to hear your prayers. In times of blessing, your prayer of thanksgiving. In times of trial, your earnest plea for help and grace. Let me hear thy voice. We're to respond. Well, here we have a response tonight in verse 7. It's put forth as a question unto the Lord. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon, for why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Now here in the Song of Solomon we have the bride calling out to the bridegroom. A few weeks ago we considered verse 2. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for love is better than wine. The bride is calling out. Now there are lessons in the Song of Solomon for husbands and wives. However, we chiefly consider Christ and the church. And as we think of the church, the individual believer, we think of the bridegroom, which is Christ, and the bride, the church, or the individual believer. In Matthew 25 verse 1, Christ is the bridegroom. And then in Revelation 21 verse 9, Revelation 22 verse 17, and bearing in mind Ephesians 5 verse 32, we have the bride, the church, made up of individual believers. So we have the bride and the bridegroom. And in light of what Christ said on the road to Emmaus, when he opened up in all the scriptures the things concerning himself, the bride is himself there. Rather, the bridegroom is himself and the bride is the church. On the road to Emmaus, we read, in beginning of Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. What a sermon that was. He brought them to the Song of Solomon. And he showed to them that he was the bridegroom. And then he went on through the rest of the Old Testament. What a sermon. What a journey it was, listening to the great teacher. Without any shadow of doubt, we consider Christ here as the bridegroom and the church as the bride, and consisting of individual believers. So here is the bride, the believer, saying in verse 7 to Christ the bridegroom, "Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions?" Two thoughts here tonight. First of all, the true believer's love and desire. And then secondly, the true bridegroom's shepherding of the soul. The true believer's love and desire, and the true bridegroom's shepherding of the soul. "Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon." Here's the church, here's the believer speaking to Christ the bridegroom, and they view him as the shepherd. For we notice these words, "Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon." A number in the past have led certain ones on to consider Psalm 23 in light of these words, and also Isaiah 40 and verse 11. But here is the true believer making known their love to Christ and their desire. They want to know his closeness. They want to be fed. They want to know rest in their trials. "Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon." Then we note these words at the end of the verse. "For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions?" They're interesting words, aren't they? But we agree they're fairly difficult to understand. Well, let's begin with those words. "For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions?" Now, the true believer desires to be where Christ is known in a special way, to be blessed, to know the presence of the shepherd in the flock. The true shepherd and his flock. And then comes the question, "For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions?" There the church is considering other flocks. There are other flocks even today. Groups. And people in them claim to be in acquaintance with Christ, but they are not true believers. Well, here the child of God is saying, "I do not want to go with them. I do not want to be with them." Listen to Spurgeon commenting on these words at the end of the verse. "There are other shepherds, though they are false ones, and these pretend to be companions of Christ. But why should we turn aside to them?" And it's solemn, isn't it, that there are some groups, even in this country, they claim to be followers of Christ. But they're not. We can think of certain ones. We could think of certain cults. But even more certain ones. Maybe those who are saying, "Well, you're saved through faith and works." That's not the truth, is it? "Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions?" There's other groups out there. They claim to be an acquaintance, but they're not. They pretend to be so, but they're not. I don't want to be there with them, speaking with them. I want to be near Christ. I want to be near thee, Lord Jesus. They may give the appearance of being a follower, but they're not. Oh, the true believer does not want to go with them, because the true believer considers they, if they remain in that state, will not go to heaven. They'll go to a place called hell. And on that great day, the Lord will say to them, as we see in Matthew 7, verse 23, "Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What solemn words. They claimed an acquaintance. Just turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Interesting words in verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? There they are. They claim acquaintance, but they're not in the flock of Christ. The Lord will say to such who remain in their sin, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What a true believer. They don't want to go with such, they want to be near Christ. Well, that's what we're presented with here. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? I want to be near the shepherd, where he feeds, not in those other flocks, though they claim to be an acquaintance with Christ. I want to be near Christ. This is what the believers say, and not them. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon, tell me. We are presented here with the love of the true believer and the desire. The desire is to be near Christ, to be fed by Christ, and to know protection and rest from him. Well, let's open up these words for a few moments. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. Tell me. Here's the believer desiring the bridegroom, the gracious shepherd, to speak. Here's the believer speaking to the Lord. Tell me. It's good to talk to the Lord Jesus, to pour out your heart. The believer here is concerned a little. The believer wants to be near to Christ. The believer's pouring out the heart. What a blessing. We can go and speak to the Lord Jesus. Remember those words we considered at the beginning tonight. The words of the Saviour in the second chapter in verse 14. Let me hear thy voice. Tell me, says the believer. It's good to pour out the heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's times when we say words in a prayer, and we may, a little later in the day, reflect upon what we said, and, oh, we know it was just a few words. But then there's times, and we may stumble in prayer, and it may be just the groanings of our hearts, and there's no audible words, but we're speaking to the Lord, we're pouring out our hearts. Tell me. Remember that woman with the issue of blood, the Lord willing? We'll consider her next Lord's Day morning in our series in Matthew. In Mark chapter 5, verse 33, we read that the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. She told him all the truth. The Lord knew. But she told him. You know, there's a lesson. The Lord knows everything about you, dear child of God, but go and tell him. Let me hear thy voice. He wants to hear us in praise, but also in prayer. He knows the situation we are in, the things that we need. He knows, but let's go and tell him. Tell him everything. Tell him the truth. Tell him where you felt him. Tell him where you need him. If you're not a believer, or that you would be drawn to Christ, and that you would tell him about your sins. And I pray that you would tell him, save me, I believe in thee now, forgive me. I remember as a boy saying that to the Lord, save me. It wasn't a long prayer, but I just said it, save me, Lord. I do not want to go to that place called hell. Dear child of God, go to Jesus. That's what we're being encouraged here. Tell me, is the believer talking? The church as a whole. It's good to come to the prayer meeting, isn't it? One person leading for others, bringing our prayers to the Redeemer. Tell me, dear child of God, go and speak to Jesus. pour out your heart. He is the sympathizing friend. One of old wrote, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Remember that woman? She told him everything. Is there something you're keeping back from the Lord? Subconsciously you're thinking, well, does he really understand? Can he really help me? Tell him everything. Here's the believer desiring to know Christ more, to be fed. Tell me. Go and speak to him. Share things with him. He is the friend that's to get closer than the brother. You know, you may go to a friend and you share certain things. He knows it all already, but go and share it with him. He wants to hear you sharing it with him. Talk to him. Ask him things. Here's this question here, isn't it? Here's the believer talking to the Lord here and putting forth this question. Put a question to him in prayer. Ask him to show you. Psalm 25, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. We sung it in praise, did we not? And we made it our prayer as we sung. Say such a prayer. Show me thy ways, Lord. He delights in making known. He showed a way through his word. He lead in providence. Sometimes it may be that's the way to go. Sometimes it may be no or wait. He shows. All to go. What a privilege to go to him. We see here the privilege of talking to Jesus. Oh, that I would think more often of that each day. It's a privilege to go and speak to him. It's not just a duty I must perform. It's my privilege. And the Lord loves to see us with this desire and love within the heart. Tell me. Tell me, he's the believer. Others listen, but I want to hear thy voice. Speak to me. I'm a sinner and nothing at all. But draw near to me through thy word and spirit. And speak to me through thy word. Tell me you want to hear him. Go and ask him. How amazing we can have an audience with the King. On Friday evening, me and my wife, we passed Buckingham Palace on the way back from this preaching engagement in London. I've never been in, and I doubt I ever will. What a blessing we have an audience with the King of Kings. And we don't need to go to some palace here upon earth. Yes, as we shall consider later, there is his special presence in the gatherings of the saints. But you know, wherever you are, you can just turn to him. And talk to him. And you can have an audience with the King of Kings. How amazing it is to speak unto the Lord Jesus Christ. To say to him, tell me. Are you saying it to the Lord Jesus? Are you speaking to him tonight? As you hear the word, preach. Tell me. Tell me. You know, it's good to go and speak to the Lord. And the Lord delights to listen. Often the Queen at a special event goes and talks to certain ones. She stops as she walks and she may talk to an old man, to a middle-aged woman, or to young children who have brought flowers for her. The Queen stops to talk to an individual. How amazing is the King of Kings. He stops to listen to individuals. Now, he's so amazing. How many prayers are being offered at this very moment in this world to him? So many prayers. Each day, go up to heaven. Unto the Father through the name of Christ, and unto the Son as well. How many prayers? Yet, he is able to listen to each one. You know, some of you, including myself, find it hard to listen in a room where many people are speaking. It's hard to listen, isn't it? How many people are speaking to the Lord now? And he listens to everyone and hears with such clarity. When a queen, she may stop to talk to one, the Lord stops to listen, and he talks. Speak to me, Lord. Tell me, notice the second word here, verse 7, me, speak to me. Draw near to me. Many do not want to hear thy voice, but I do. Many do not want to listen, but I do. I want to listen. Tell me. Speak to me. And the Lord will answer your prayer. He will speak through his word. And note these words here. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. The voice of Jesus is heard through his word. Now the one that is drawn unto him in effectual calling will hear the voice of Jesus. Remember, we considered that this morning. The Lord said unto Matthew, follow me. We've heard the voice of Jesus, dear brothers and sisters. We desire to hear it again, don't we? You know, if you love someone, you want to hear their voice again. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. I want to hear thy voice. I want to be with thee. I want to know refreshment and shelter and comfort. Tell me. Tell me. Speak to me. The shepherd comes and stirs the soul and restores it. And there is a strength for him. Now the address is unto Jesus, the one who is loved. And let's focus on this secondly. Note these words here. O thou whom my soul loveth. Tell me, the believer speaking. The believer talking to Jesus. And now the believer makes known their love to Jesus. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. My soul. He's a believer being honest with Christ. My soul. I love thee, Lord. You know, we cannot rely on the love of someone else. What do I mean? A child may have been brought up in a godly home. They can't rely on the love of their mother or father to Christ as being the hope they have of heaven. No. It must be their personal faith. And a fruit, an evidence of faith, is love. One must have faith within. One must be found loving Jesus. A personal friend here. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. You may be thinking of others in this room. Well, they love the Lord. And so do I. I love thee, Lord Jesus. The Lord knows everything. The Lord knows if we are loving him this evening hour. What a blessing to be able to say to the Lord, O thou whom my soul loveth. I have faith, but there's also love. It's not just words on my lips, but it's love in my soul. Do you notice that there? O thou whom my soul loveth. There's love in the heart. Love in the heart for the Lord Jesus. Can I ask you, is there love going up to heaven at this moment from your heart? O thou whom my soul loveth. The grace of love within the soul. You making it known to the Lord. It's interesting here, isn't it? Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. When we think of prayer, particularly at a prayer meeting, one is praying for others. Others are listening. But the one is praying to the Lord. The one is praying for others. Others are listening, but they're praying to the Lord. They're speaking to him. My soul loveth. Here the believer is speaking to the Lord about their love. Are you speaking to the Lord about your love? How often do we do that? How often do we speak about our love to Jesus? Love appears. After faith, you think of a new believer, love will appear. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. Love after faith is put within by the Holy Spirit in the heart of the elect sinner in effectual calling. The unbeliever does not have that grace of love. There's deadness within. There's spiritual deadness. They don't have this grace of love. They may be able to say the word love, but they don't have love in the heart for the Lord Jesus. In Proverbs 8, verse 36, we read, "But he that sinneth against me, thinking of wisdom, and wisdom the Lord Jesus Christ, in light of Corinthians, he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. Oh, they that hate me love death." It's the comparison there, isn't it? One who hates Jesus, it could be said, as we see there, they love the state they're in. That spiritual deadness within. The unbeliever does not have this grace of love. They may have a natural love. A sinful love will be there as well, but not this grace of love. And then turn over to the New Testament, 1 John 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. You see, before, there was no love. But the believer can be assured, I have love in my heart now. I'm not dead in trespasses and sins. The unbeliever has no heart for the Lord, no love. But love appears in the heart and life of the born-again Christian. It appears after faith. You think back in spring. The daffodils appear. And the spring flowers. Afterwards come the roses, and we can think of the red roses. Faith appears, and then love appears. And we see love here. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, the believers focusing on Jesus and making known their love. Love put within by the Holy Spirit. And what a privilege to be able to say to Jesus tonight, O thou whom my soul loveth. It's a privilege to be able to say to someone else, isn't it? Maybe in the family, I love you. You younger brothers and sisters here, it's a good thing to do, isn't it? I wish I did it more often when I was young. Be able to say, I love you. What a privilege to be able to say to Jesus now. I love thee, Lord Jesus. Whom my soul loveth. Here the believer, the heart is stirred, aroused. Has he touched your heart? Is it beating for Jesus? Are you able to say now, at this very moment, Jesus, I love thee? Sometimes the clouds of coldness come over my heart. But when the clouds of coldness are dispersed, I am again found saying to Jesus that I love him. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. Now think here, we can think of the church as a whole. Speaking to the Lord, and there's individual believers speaking here as well. Other believers taking note of the love of others. Do others take note of your love to Jesus? Do they say of you, that man, that woman, that boy and girl, they so love Jesus. They speak of him. They're prepared to suffer for him. They're focused on him, even though they're in great difficulty. Do they speak of your love? Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. For here the believer has made known their love and desires to spend time, more time, in close fellowship with Jesus. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest. A wife talks to her husband, maybe on the phone when he's apart, away on business. She misses him. She wants to be with him. So she makes known her love. She speaks to him. The child of God speaking to Jesus about their love and desiring to know more fellowship with him. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. Tell me, I know. I trust already you know where the shepherd feeds. But the heart is stirred. Tell me, Lord. Tell me again. Arouse my heart. Draw me nearer. Bring me to those times of refreshment. Well, as we close tonight, secondly, leading on the true bridegroom shepherding of the soul, the true bridegroom shepherding of the soul. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. The bride considers the bridegroom as a shepherd. She considers another aspect of our bridegroom. You know, that's a precious thing, isn't it? We consider him as the bridegroom, our husband, such love, such care of us. But then we can go and consider him as the shepherd. We could go and consider him also as the captain of our salvation, who leads us all through all the storms of life. We could go on and consider him as the captain or as the friend. It's a wonderful thing to consider Christ and then different things about him, different offices. He's the prophet, priest and king. We hear the believer, the church, considers the bridegroom as the shepherd. The true bridegroom's shepherding of the soul, the believer desires. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest. Here the believer recognizes Christ as the shepherd and desires that shepherding. Is that not your fervent desire? What a blessing to know the shepherd. To have known a little already of his shepherding. We want more, don't we? We want to know more of the shepherding. The believer is focused on Christ. The believer loves Christ. The believer loves the shepherd. The believer knows the shepherd. Desires to know the shepherd more intimately. The believer can say of Christ, my shepherd. My shepherd who gave his life for me. The believer here then is calling out to the bridegroom, who is her shepherd. Reverend John Brown of Haddington wrote here on these words in verse 7, but O all compassionate shepherd of the sheep, but O all compassionate shepherd of the sheep, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. The believer desires to know where he feeds, where he makes the flock to rest at noon. Let's consider this as we close tonight. The believer knows that the shepherd feeds. He feeds through his word. His word is food for the soul. Think of food, it has that strengthening influence, that supporting. We need food for support, it has that comforting, doesn't it? You know, we hear the expression, comfort eating. Many years ago, I was at a rehearsal in North Wiltshire. And it was a rather long rehearsal, and I got a little bored, and I went out into the graveyard one Friday evening, and I knocked myself out. I was staying with my uncle and auntie. I ended up in the hospital. Well, that night, my auntie used to make these lovely cakes. She was a farmer's wife, as well as once being a missionary. She made this lovely cake in the daytime. That night, she ate the whole cake herself. It was comfort eating for her. Do we look on the Word of God at times as comfort eating? The comfort we know through the Word. Oh, where thou feedest, I desire strength and support and comfort and fresh discoveries of thy love and promises to ease my soul. I want to be near thee, Lord Jesus, in thy presence in a special way. Where? Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. Where, Lord? We can consider the gatherings of the saints. The times of worship, the times around the table, where the shepherd feeds. The shepherd has a great heart for the flock. And so he will provide those places where his word is faithfully preached, till he comes again. Remember those words in Matthew 28, verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And though I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And we can take comfort there. The Lord will have his church here upon earth until he comes again. And he will have those gatherings where he will feed through the ministry of the word. Because he has a great heart. Now we live in challenging days. What's happening? Days of declension. Let's never forget this. The shepherd has a great heart for his people. So there will be certain places where they can gather. Maybe just two or three underground. And there will be the feeding through the word. Oh, there is the feeding through the ministry of the word of God. Yes, he feeds us each day through the word when we turn to the word of God. But all those special times. And particularly focusing on that. Where thou feedest. A desire to be near Christ in a special way. Have we that desire? The heart is moved as love. I want to hear thee through the word more often. I desire that comforting influence, that supporting influence through the word. I desire fresh discoveries of thy love. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest. But there's one more thing here. Where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. You think of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He's leading the flock, as we see in Isaiah 40, verse 11. And there's valleys for them to pass through. There's rocky places they must go through. He leads them to a place of rest and refreshment. He causes us to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You know certain animals, the farmer or the shepherd or someone else, the owner, may try to get them to sit down. Sometimes I've tried with my dog and have not been very successful. Stubborn is the animal. And sometimes we can be stubborn sheep, but let's be thankful for a shepherd whom we sing of, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Not only do we need to be in the gatherings of the saints or in the word, we need the Lord to cause us to sit down, that we might feed, that we might be focused with the eye of faith on him. But a shepherd cares, he makes me to lie down in green pastures, he leadeth me beside the still waters. And what do we read here? Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. Now out in Israel, at the noontime, midday, the temperature has really got up. It's very hot, and sometimes it can get hotter, as it has been recently in Jerusalem. There's the scorching heat of the sun. Well, here's the prayer, the cry to the Lord, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. The believer recognizes there's trials. The believer recognizes here that this world is not heaven. There's difficulties. The believer knows there's a place of rest near to the heart of Jesus. Where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. The believer has counted the cost here. And taking up the cross daily, as we see in verse 7, because the believer knows there's trials, because the believer desires rest in the midst of the scorching heat. We think of the scorching heat of the noontime, noonday sun. One can feel weary out in the scorching heat when the temperature, but we're told there's a Spanish plume coming up. And it's meant to get very hot before the thunderstorms come this week. And one may be weary in the heat. Scorching heat of the sun. We think of trials and afflictions for the people of God. They come down on the believer and they may be weary. The fiery darts of the evil one. They're fired and they come towards you. What have you done? What hope is there for you? And one can be weary. Persecution. The heat of persecution, trials that drain up the strength. We know what that's like, isn't it? We can be going on and the trial drains up our strength, the unkindness of those that oppose us. But then there is the scorching heat of temptation. And there can be the battle of indwelling sin, and one can be weary. We think of the loom, trial and affliction.
The scorching heat of the sun, one's weary, their strength is drained.
That's how it can be in affliction. Psalm 6 verse 6, I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim, I water my couch with my tears. Psalm 69 verse 3, I am weary with my crying. My throat is dried, mine eyes fell while I wait for my God. He's weary there, the psalmist. And we know also in light of the New Testament particularly, there is our Lord in his humiliation. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dry. He's your sympathizing high priest. One could be so weary. Well, here's the believer. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. I've learnt a little about thee already. Thou dost have such a care for the soul. To feed and to shelter. Tell me, I desire that rest and refreshment in thy presence. In that general way, to return to the word, but also in those special occasions such as this. I desire rest, Lord, and refreshment. I got a new week before me. Lord, I desire rest and refreshment. I desire to rest at noon. And here we're shown the possibility, even in a great trial, to know the strength of Christ, supporting the soul, and rest for the soul. Remember Paul and Silas, in prison at midnight, 12 hours later than the noon, they were singing praises to God. They knew rest and refreshment in that prison, because the Lord was near them. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to know rest at noon. Tell me. The believer may say, I know already, but tell me again. Tell me again about the special gatherings of the saints. Tell me again about the preciousness of reading the Bible each day. Tell me again about the blessing of coming around the table. Tell me again. Don't be ashamed to ask Jesus to keep making it plain to you. Tell me, here's the believer wants to be near Jesus. I desire, blessed Lord, to be near thee. That's what we desire in the trials of life, isn't it? Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord. I desire that I might be fed and strengthened. Speak to me. Tell me, thou art drawing my brothers and sisters near to thee, but draw me, Lord. Tell me, speak to melt my heart. Dear congregation, Christ leads his flock. Isaiah 40, verse 11. What's your desire tonight? To be near Christ. I want to be so closely following Christ this evening now. Not at a distance, but near to him. Amen. Let us pray.